Jordan looked in puzzlement at the closed bedroom door. He was proud to note that his legs were only slightly unsteady now.
Empty.
He shrugged and wandered into the bedroom. He sat down on the edge of the bed and ran his hand caressingly over the luxurious eiderdown. It had been a long, hard day, and he had enough things to worry about without brooding over some vanishing dog. He pulled off his boots and wriggled his grateful toes. The bed felt wonderfully soft and comfortable. If nothing else, at least while he was at the castle, he should be able to get a good night's sleep. Prince Victor sat listlessly on the edge of his bed, his head bowed forward and his eyes half closed. The Lady Heather unbuttoned his shirt with gentle efficiency and pulled it back off his arms. His torso was gaunt to the point of emaciation, and the skin was deathly pale. Heather forced herself not to pay it any attention. Victor knew how ill he looked, but he couldn't bear seeing the knowledge of it in her eyes. She made herself concentrate on the simple business of getting Victor out of his clothes and into his nightshirt. At first he'd refused to wear one, claiming it was an old man's garment, but as he became weaker, he quickly found the nights too cold without one. He was so feeble now he couldn't even undress himself, and it was that simple helplessness that infuriated him the most. Finally, Heather had him ready for bed, and she turned away to the nearby medicine table. Vials and bottles of all shapes and sizes clustered together in an untidy mess, the various liquids, powders, and roots making a dull rainbow of colors. Victor had tried them all at one time or another.
Here we are.
Not close to 10.
What was that, darling?
Nothing. Just an idea as to where that muck probably comes from. Are you sure I'm not supposed to rub it on instead of drinking it?
You really are a baby when it comes to taking your medicine, Victor.
Oh, shut up or I'll hit you with my rattle.
Sooner or later, we're bound to find one that helps, my dear. If only by the law of averages. Now, are we going to do this the easy way, or am I going to have to hold your nose again?
Heather made herself keep smiling. It tore at her heart to see him so down and defenseless. She brought the spoon carefully over to Victor's mouth.
Oh, that tastes so vile, it must be doing me good. Well, where's my sweetie? A good nurse always has a nice sweetie for afterward to take the nasty taste away.
All right, then.
Sorry, love. The spirit is willing, but it's not in charge anymore. I'm tired. I'm always tired these days.
Heather smiled comfortingly and nodded. She didn't dare say anything for fear her voice would betray her. She carefully recorked the bottle and put it and the spoon back on the table.
All right. Now let's get you under the covers.
She leaned forward, took firm hold of his legs, and lifted them up onto the bed. He leaned backward and she helped lower him the rest of the way. She pulled the heavy covers up over him, and his head sank exhaustedly back into the pillow. Heather let her hand rest on his forehead for a moment. His skin was hot and dry to the touch.
Oh, I never thought I'd die this way. A battle that went wrong, or a dagger in the back, that was something I'd grown used to. I could cope with that. But dying in bed by inches... I'm scared, Heather.
Don't be, my love. I'm here.
I'm tired, Heather. Very tired. I think I'll sleep for a while. Are the guards and wards in place?
Yes, darling. Don't you worry about anything. You're perfectly safe here. Rest easy.
She straightened up and saw that his eyes were already closed and his face was slack. She stood by the bed for a while, watching his shallow breathing. Then she turned and tiptoed out of the bedchamber. Her shoulders slumped. Being constantly cheerful and encouraging was hard work. She leaned back against the closed door with her eyes shut, gathering her strength. The Lady Emma Hellstrom looked up from her sewing and smiled at her.
Heather, my dear, you look tired enough to drop. Come over here and sit with me before you fall down.
Heather opened her eyes and smiled at Emma and pushed herself away from the door.
He's settled now. I think he'll sleep for a while. I hope so, anyway.
Still no improvement?
Worse, if anything. I've tried him on every medicine the surgeons have come up with, and none of them have made a blind bit of difference. He's so weak now, he can't even walk unaided. Oh, Emma, it breaks my heart to see him this way.
The Lady Emma patted Heather comfortingly on the arm as she sat down beside her.
You must be strong, my dear. You'll have to be strong enough for both of you.
I know, Emma. You think he's going to die, don't you?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
He's not going to die. I won't let him. I swear if I ever get my hands on the bastards who've done this to him...
You still think it's poison?
It has to be.
I don't see how it can be, Heather. I mean, Argent tastes everything before Victor even touches it.
I know. I know. Whoever it is, they've been very clever. When I find out who's responsible, I'll see to it that he dies by inches.
I'll help hold him down.
I'd like that, Emma.
When they'd first met, Heather had wondered what Sir Gawain had ever seen in his wife. The Lady Emma was a plump, mousy woman in her early 40s. Whatever beauty she might once have had in her youth had faded away into plain, unremarkable features and a more than comfortably padded body. At first, Heather had seen her as just another victim for her wit, someone else to take out the day's frustrations on. But right from the beginning, Emma had made a point of answering Heather in kind, and the two women quickly developed a surprisingly strong attachment for each other. As Victor and Gawain spent most of their time together, it was hardly surprising that Heather and Emma found themselves often in each other's company, and their early friendship had long since hardened into an unbreakable bond.
Tell me, have you seen Victor's double yet? What's he like?
Physically, he's so like Victor, it's frightening. He even sounds like him, or at least like Victor before Victor fell ill. But I don't like him. He's an arrogant sort, like all actors, full of himself and forgetful of his proper place. But he'll do the job well enough. And afterwards...
My dear Heather, if you followed through on every one of your dire threats, we'd have to build another cemetery. You can't kill everyone you don't like, or soon we'd have no one left to talk to.
I'm right this time, Emma, and you know it. The actor has to die. We can't risk his telling anyone about his part in our little conspiracy, can we? It's not as if he was the only one marked for death. Once Victor is king, he can't allow anyone in a position of power to have undue influence over him. Argent is a tradesman. We can bargain with him. But Roderick... he forgets his place too often, the nasty little man. Just because he has some blood, he thinks he's as good as my Victor. Sometimes he even seems to think that he's in charge of this conspiracy, and Victor is only there to follow his orders. We can't have that, can we? No. Once my Victor is safely on the throne, there are going to be quite a few surprised faces at court.
The chuckling was at odds with the looks of grim anticipation in their faces.